Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to see you all. We have a little bit of a sparse crowd, but I assume that some of that's going to be due to the springing forward, and some folks will be trickling in. Bow with me as we begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for a new day and the opportunities it will afford us to encourage someone in your name. Thank you for helping us overcome our fears by giving us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you for helping us overcome discouragement by reminding us of your unlimited power and abiding presence. Thank you for helping us live courageously and relate effectively to others. Teach us to use our minds to encourage others by focusing on solutions rather than complaining or assigning blame. Teach us to use our eyes to encourage others by looking for good in every person and circumstance. Teach us to use our ears to encourage others by being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Teach us to use our lips to encourage others by speaking words of hope and healing. Teach us to use our hands to encourage others by doing small deeds of kindness, expecting nothing in return. Today, Lord, we will help someone to build by nudging her one step closer to her dreams. Today, Lord, we will help someone to blossom by refusing to give up on them, no matter how low he has fallen. Today, Lord, we will help someone to believe by showing her she is valuable, lovable, and capable. Today, Lord, we will help someone to battle by urging him to face his fears instead of running away. Today, Lord, we will glorify you through our ministry of encouragement. It's in Christ's name that we pray and we ask all these things. Amen. This quarter, we're going to be studying encouragement. And there are a few reasons why we're going to be studying encouragement. Number one, we will find that it's a biblical ministry. Number two, everyone needs encouragement. Everyone under the sound of my voice needs encouragement. And then also, this should be a part of every Christian's ministry. It's part of our responsibility. It's kind of what Christians are called to do. And so through our study, we're going to see that as well. We find in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 2, and the Bible says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." And so again, we're dealing with the Christian principle of considering others. And in order to be an effective encourager, that's one of the things that we have to be able to master, to have the ability to look beyond our own needs and to focus on the needs and the situations of others. So in the form of an overview of where we'll be going this quarter, we're going to be working as a guide out of this book, The Barnabas Factor. It's a really good read, and if you are interested in obtaining a copy of this, we do have some available. As is the case most often with the limited time frame, we're not going to be able to cover every aspect of what's in here. So if you have the book, it would be an opportunity to make sure you can fill in the blanks along the way. We're going to have, in this first few weeks, a look at the attitude of an encourager. We're going to look at the theory behind encouragement and the inner workings of it, why it's needed. And then we'll transition and consider the anatomy of an encourager and examine the tools of this biblical ministry and how we can use these tools most effectively to be encouragers. And then we'll look at the activity of an encourager. We'll consider applying the knowledge and the skill that hopefully we'll be able to come to understand better in looking at some great examples of encouragers throughout the Bible. And so that's where we're going to be going this quarter. Now, when we consider the definition of encourager, it's interesting because the Old Testament uses a particular word in the New Testament. It translates a little bit differently. But in essence, to encourage scripturally means to be strong, to strengthen, to cure, to help, to repair, to fortify. And typically we'll find those kinds of references from the Old Testament. And when we see that word used in the New Testament, it means to console, to comfort, and to encourage. So we're going to be considering all of these things as we walk through our lessons together. Now, we want to start out by talking about our makeup. We're social beings, and we're social beings by design. God made us that way. We don't have a say in the matter, right? We have an innate need for social interaction and contact with one another. We don't need to look any further than Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, right? Where God looked down and he said, what to Adam? You know, it's not good for you to be alone. And so he created a helpmeet for Adam. And then, beyond that, we see the instruction for, you know, what needs to happen in terms of a husband leaving his family and cleaving to his wife. And so we see in this example that God has intended and he put us in a situation where we're always going to be around people. Okay, he made Adam and then he made Eve for him. And then in terms of the family structure, we see that the man leaves his family and he was a part of that family. And then he leaves to cleave to a wife, and then the family continues to grow, and so you have another family unit. And so we're people that are designed to be with people. And again, that's God's plan, and we don't have much that we can do about that. And then when you consider what we see up even through the church age, God added each of us to his body. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 12, we see that we're many members, but we're all in one body. And it goes on and we look over in Ephesians chapter 4 and 16, where we're together in the body, we're built up together, we edify one another in love. So these are, you know, just some of the things that we are able to accomplish together in the body. So it was intended for us to be social beings. We also see early examples of the church. We consider what we read over in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, a very familiar passage of scripture. The Christians were together all the time. And they went from house to house, fellowshipping. Now, you know, when you look at that particular time frame, we know that the Christians, they kind of got a little bit comfortable, and nobody wanted to leave Jerusalem, and then the persecution came. But that doesn't change the model that we see in terms of what the interaction was. What they should have done is they should have went back to their respective homes and continued to carry on that aspect of fellowship. But we see here that, again, we're created, and it's designed for us to kind of be social beings. These and many other biblical truths help us to understand that God created us to be social beings and having a need to be among people. Now, one of the blessings that we get from this, and, you know, one could also look at it as something that might not be such a positive thing, is that we have the ability to influence one another when we're in those social circles. And the good side of that, obviously, is that we can be a godly influence on one another and encourage one another to do good. But there's also the counter side of that. There can also be a negative influence that people have on others, and we can be encouraged along a sinful nature as well. So when you consider that, you have to kind of think and understand that people can have a lasting impact on other individuals. Now, as encouragers, we always want to make sure that we're positive, that we have a reputation that we're pleasant people. We're people that are pleasant to be around. We are people who are more encouraging rather than less encouraging. We can and should radiate a quiet self-confidence with one another. Encouragers need to be people who have the ability to look out to see the needs of others and to be able to minister to those needs instead of always being the person who needs others to come to their attention. So when we're in a situation where it's essentially all about us and we're constantly looking for folks to help us to fulfill our emotional needs, it kind of limits our ability to reach out and encourage others. And so that's one of the things that we need to be able to assess about ourselves. Encouragers, they make for excellent friends. Encouragers make for excellent workers or co-workers. They make for great Christians. When you think about it, Jesus was an awesome encourager. A couple of instances that come to mind is that we had Jesus in the woman at the well, and then Jesus with the woman who was found in adultery. In both of these situations, Jesus opted not to condemn these women who were certainly in a position, you know, of condemnation because of the sin that they were living in. But after their interaction with Jesus, they went away looking to be better and to do better. And that's kind of the impact that we want to be able to have on people, to help people want to strive to do better and to be better as people. Now, each of us has probably been encouraged by someone who has had a lasting impact on us. I can think back in my life to a couple of people in particular. I went to a vocational high school. My dad thought, you know, yeah, this college thing sounds great, but you know, boy, you need a trade. So I went to learn to be a carpenter. So in my particular high school, you know, a large percentage, or I should say a rather small percentage of the student population had visions of going on to higher education because it was a trade school. But there was this one guidance counselor who knew of my aspirations, and you know, she made sure that she encouraged me to get my applications in on time and to make sure that everything was spelled correctly in the essays that I had to write and things like that. She went out of her way to expose me to things like state government and took me down to the legislature so that I could actually see a session. And her name was Miss Kitt. And then there was another lady. She was another counselor, and she taught special ed, and I was never in one of her classes, but her name was Charlotte Chambers. Her name is Charlotte Chambers. And some of you may have heard about the gridiron granny from Florida a few years back. You know, she was 80 years old playing football, literally. That's just the kind of person that she was. But she was always kind of ever present. And when I was goofing off, it just took a look. And, you know better and you can do better. And she made sure that I was involved in school government, in our school and on the local level and all of those kinds of things. And so these people, they had a lasting impact on me because they took the time to encourage me. And so weak and awe, and what I want to do for just a moment is to ask some of you to reflect back and to share if there's someone in your life past that made an impact on you, that provided you with some encouragement that you kind of still carry with you today. And I'm asking this of you because where we're headed in this class is we really want to key in on how important encouragement is and what our individual roles can be. The purpose, and I'll jump ahead and talk about where we ultimately want to be, is we want everyone to become better encouragers. And that's something that everyone here can do. Some people have different talents, right? Some people can teach, some people can preach, some people can, have art talents and da da da. Well, I can't sing. I'll never lead a song because that's really not a talent that I have. But encouragement is one of those things that every Christian can aspire to. So anybody have any thing that they can share with the rest of us in terms of an individual that at some point in time really encouraged them and it made a lasting impact? Okay, well, you guys just... Okay, we got one. Terrific. Anybody else care to share?
I thought I had not so much on a personal experience, but thought that I had that there are some people that are natural encouragers and that just that they encourage, and that's just what they do. Brenda was one of those. And there's people that it takes a good bit more effort to find those opportunities.
Absolutely. So secular encouragement, we can see it's great, it's positive, and it can take us a long way into becoming better people, and in all sorts of positive things come from that. But spiritual encouragement, godly encouragement, that's so much better. Encouraging someone in the Lord, encouraging someone to obey the gospel, encouraging someone in their faith. When you think about just the act of, a kid being encouraged by a grown-up or an adult or an older sibling or whatever, and then you're able to overcome whatever it is you're facing. Again, that's wonderful and that's powerful. But when we're encouraging based on godly principles and encouraging folks in the Lord, it's that much more powerful. And that's kind of what we want to tap into. It's been said by this author, Aubrey Johnson, that Christianity is a relationship religion, and encouragement is the chief element in all good personal relationships. And I think there's some truth in that. And in fact, when you consider the Apostle Andrew, right? You can read this account in John chapter 1, verse 40 through 43. So Andrew, he was... they're listening to John the Baptist. And John saw Jesus walking by and he pointed him out and said, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And John encouraged Andrew to go in and hear Jesus. Well, that bit of encouragement led John to go in to hear Jesus. He actually spent a whole day with Jesus. And he was so moved and so encouraged by the things that Jesus said that he went and he got his brother. And he said, "Listen, Peter, we found the Messiah. Come on." And so he encouraged Peter to go and take a listen to Jesus. And then we know that Peter became, you know, one of the more recognizable apostles. In fact, preached the first gospel sermon, encouraging thousands and encouraging folks to this day to obey the gospel. And so when we consider the relationship aspect of Christianity and how it's designed to work, encouragement is a key part of that. And we need to recognize how it is used in bringing souls to Christ. We simply need to follow the pattern, as the scripture teaches us, so that we're encouraging folks to follow Jesus. That's the best and the ultimate encouragement that we have to give. Now, we've touched on a little bit of the psychology of encouragement, but we do need to understand that encouragement is a biblical ministry. Foundations of it are right here in Scripture. We have direct commands to encourage one another, and there are many examples of godly men and women who have done miraculous things in terms of, you know, changing the course of people's lives just through encouraging them in the Lord. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11, the Bible reads, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient towards all men." And so we're talking here about encouraging the faint-hearted. Now, has anybody in here ever been faint-hearted before? Or should I ask, has anybody not been faint-hearted before? Let's not be mistaken. We are in the midst every day of spiritual warfare. For us, that's what it's about, and that's all it's about. You know, everything equates to the devil trying to tear us away from Christ. That manifests itself in a number of different things. The thing that somebody says on the job, you know, the argument you have at home with your spouse, you know, all of these things are designed to pull us away from our relationship with Christ. And so we need to stand ready and be ready to, and this is an exhortation. We're being strongly encouraged and commanded here to make sure that we encourage one another. We support the weak. And how many of us, you know, are weak? Well, it's not so much just about the weak, right? But the faint-hearted, even the strong can be faint-hearted sometimes. So everybody needs to be encouraged in this way. And if you turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, we're going to look at verse number 13. The Bible reads, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. How often is it saying? Daily. Now, one of the things that I'm fond of saying in teaching some areas of the law that I happen to teach from time to time is that words mean something. You know, these words are not here by accident. Now, it's calling for something to happen on a daily basis, and it doesn't stop there. It goes on to tell us why. And what it says is, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Again, going back to that spiritual warfare, that's what it's about for us. And sin is deceitful. We can be led down a path, thinking we're right and be just as wrong, and we can be hardened just that quick, because sin is deceitful. And so it's incumbent upon us to be there for one another, to encourage one another in right thinking and right doing, encouraging one another in the Lord, encouraging one another to see things through the eyes of Christ. We all get frustrated. We all get mad. We all, you know, have those moments, right? And thank God for spiritual partners, spiritual friends, spiritual husbands and wives that can say, that can listen to you and say, well, what do you think Jesus would say about that, you know? Or, you know, well, I understand your frustration, but, you know, we kind of need to work as unto the Lord. So it really doesn't matter, you know, and that's what we're talking about. We need to be able to be that for one another, because sin is so deceitful. And if we don't stand up against it at every point in time, it can kind of lead us away. Absolutely. Let's take a look at a few examples of where we had some really good examples of encouragement. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 27. In 28. And here we're going to see where God is commanding Moses to encourage Joshua. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. So God is commanding Moses to encourage Joshua. Now we all understand, you know, the story in what they have been through to this point. And Joshua obviously was an eyewitness to all of it. So think about why he might need encouragement. Huge undertaking. This has been, you know, more than 40 years in the making, right? And the people literally drove Moses to banging on rocks, you know? because they were just the people. And it was a tough job. So God knew that he needed encouragement. And I like what this text says, because it gives some eyesight, some insight into what was to be accomplished through this encouragement. And it was to strengthen him. And again, let's go back to what we need to successfully live this life. We need that strength. Now, we have everything that we need. We just need to be able to tap into it. Sometimes we disconnect ourselves from the source of power and strength that we have as Christians. But we need to always be able to encourage one another, to hold fast and to maintain that relationship with God. Another thing I'll point out, go ahead, come here. Another thing that I'll point out is we are looking at instances where others were encouraged. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and 6, when we look at that account, you know, David encouraged himself in the Lord. So it's not a situation where we always need to rely on someone else to encourage us. As long as we have our relationship with God and we have God's word, we need to know that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. But how good is it when you're struggling and you get that call, you get that note, you get that text from a brother or sister in Christ who tell you to hold on. I know it's tough right now, but God is able. He will see you through this just like he saw you through the last thing you went through. Trust in him. Have you ever got a call like that? Have you ever got a note like that? Has anybody ever encouraged you in the Lord? God bless you if you have been encouraged that way. God bless you if you have been the one providing that source of encouragement. What I want you to do is to think about what it made you feel like and how it lifted you and got you across that threshold of pain or adversity or whatever it was that you were going through by that encouraging comment that somebody gave to you. And then let's think about us and how important it is and how we're capable of helping someone else in that same fashion. And again, going back to talking about esteeming others greater than yourselves, getting in, what was Christ's message? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And so much of what we need to be able to overcome, to be good encouragers, is to not be the wallowers, is to not be so intra-focused, but to be able to look out to see the needs of others. And that's really key and important. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then we also see, and I think we're run a little short on time, but Hezekiah, he spoke encouraging words to discouraged people when they were being, you know, surrounded by the Assyrian king over in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 6 and 8. And let's see if we can't read that real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Beginning in verse number 6. And he set captains of war over the people and gathered them together to him in the street of the gate of the city, and spoke encouragingly to them, saying, Be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude who are with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And then in 32 and 21, we see where, you know, the angel of the Lord came and fought the battle for them. And so when you look at these words, and they're just as meaningful for us today as it was for them back then. God is with you. God is with you through the challenges on the job, when your car breaks down, when, you know, things are not going well at home. God is with you, just like he was with them. And God is able to allow us to overcome anything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so that is a source and a bit of encouragement that we innately have, that we need to be ready and willing to share with one another, because it is perpetually true. For the child of God, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. We forget that sometimes. And that's why we need to be encouraged by one another. Now, it's not really a part of this lesson, but I'll go ahead and mention it anyway. We kind of need to, and it goes back to some of what Paul said, we need to kind of be a little bit more in tune with one another so that we can provide those timely doses of encouragement, right? You know, he was able to encourage the people because he was there with them and he understood. He was able to look in their eyes and he saw the fear. And he said, now wait a minute, we serve the living God. And he with us is greater than any army that exists. And again, the same is true for us. It does not matter what the battle is. It does not matter what the adversity is. Me and God, we can take on the world and win convincingly. And so that's the ultimate source of encouragement for the child of God. Now, there's a couple of looks from the Old Testament. When we consider the New Testament, Paul, he was obviously a great encourager, right? He was probably the most encouraging, you know, person that you can ever think of. He's in the midst of jail. Talk about not considering yourself and thinking about others. He's in bondage, he's in jail, and yet he's just writing letters to folks and encouraging the church and all of those things, not considering for a moment the peril in the situation that he was in. So that's an awesome example of, you know, denying yourself and really focusing on the work at hand. When you look at Philippians chapter 4, and this contains one of my favorite passages of Scripture, we see some real encouragement here. Beginning in verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So How encouraging is that? Number one, God can give you the peace that you need. Folks won't understand how you're able to walk with your head up high and with a smile on your face when the pink slips are flying, or when you name the situation, when there's death, when there's illness. But see, what we need to think on and focus on, even during those times, are all these wonderful things. Anything that's of good report, the lovely things, the things that are beautiful, all the things that we have in Christ, the great promises that He has given us. These are the things that we need to be able to focus on, and we need to be able to encourage others to focus on when everything seems to be, you know, just a state of despair. And it gets that way sometimes. Sometimes it's just really dark. Sometimes we don't know how we're going to get to the next day. And that's why we need to have those relationships, so we can see that in one another. That's why one of the numerous reasons why God didn't intend for us to walk alone. He didn't put us on an island. He didn't isolate us. And when you think back just through, Jesus sent them out how many? One. Think about it. The forces could have been multiplied. Instead of sending folks to six places, He could have sent folks to 12 places. Right? But that's not what He did. He said two by two. So that we would always have someone to be able to build one another up and to encourage one another. Amen. I'm sorry. Okay, so I wanted to also point out a couple things as we hasten to a close. It's one of those things where you have a lot more lesson to go, but just a little bit of time. And I already lost the week last week. So, yes. And we need to encourage one another to practice that. And you're absolutely right, because these are the words of God. Now, encouragers are needed today more than ever. A couple statistics, youth suicide rates, gang involvement, they're the highest that they've been in, you know, forever. According to the CDC, the third leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds is suicide. And it's the fourth leading cause of death for children between the ages of 10 and 14. The CDC goes on to say in a report regarding this that children suffering from depression, which 75% of the suicide victims suffer from, need to be shown unconditional love, emotional support, and need to feel loved and wanted. In other words, what they need is good old-fashioned Christian encouragement. They need to be shown hope. What greater hope is there than Christ, the Jesus? That is our hope. And so, going back to the idea and the concept of Christianity being a relationship-based religion, we need to take our encouragement everywhere we go into a different level. We identify the fact that being an encourager and being encouraged, even secularly, it has great power and strength. But oh, how much more is there power in encouraging one another in the Lord. And the world is sinking. You know, people are being lost. People are reaching out. Why do you think so many people turn to Second Bell? Gangs. Was that the Second Bell? Okay. People are turning to all sorts of things, be it booze, liquor, alcohol, all sorts of things. But what they really need is Jesus, because that's where our hope is. That's the promise, and that's the only thing that's real. And so next week, we're going to try to conclude this particular chapter and move on and talk about courage and the courage it takes to be an encourager, in how God expects us and what He has given us so that we can stand courageously. Thank you so much for your kind attention.